It's so sweet to be in the presence of God, isn't it? I could just feel the presence of God this morning in a way. And I think I'm probably going to be a little bit tender this morning. So on Friday, Alex called me. And, I think, where's Christian? Christian brought a word about grief, and there was a thing about like grief, and feels like something the Lord wants to touch this morning. So Alex called me on Friday, and he said, my sister died. His sister was found by her children, passed away, and really shocking. Don't know what happened or why. And then yesterday evening, and Margaret and I were watching a movie. I was snoring through the movie, and she was watching the movie. And I woke up for a minute. My phone was ringing, and there was a sheriff in Nevada saying that my brother had passed away. And my brother wasn't well, and it was probably a call I sort of half expected to get at some point, because I'd gotten a call a couple months ago about him being hospitalized and probably spent 4 weeks in the hospital. But nonetheless, it's like, it's just interesting that it feels like there's some grief in the room. And just during the prayer time, this isn't my preach, and I'll get to my preach in a minute, but just in the prayer time, I had a picture of like the gardener and the garden. And that song popped in my head, you know, that song. I'm not going to sing it to you, because I like Bo. People in here, you don't want me to sing, but it says, I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He says, and he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And then I was reminded in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And it's interesting that this all started in a garden. And it's interesting that God came to walk with Adam and Eve in that garden. And this is like right on the heels of original sin, the first sin. And we think, man, when we're hurting, when we're sinning, when we're in a difficult place, it's like we think, oh, we got to get away from God. And it's interesting when the course of humanity was originally altered in that moment when Adam and Eve sinned, they disobeyed the Lord, he came walking in the garden. And I just had this picture this morning of, and some of you, besides, Alex and myself, some of you might be grieving, you might be hurting, you might be in a difficult spot. And I just had this picture of the Lord kind of walking in and amongst us. Like the faithful God that he is, like the faithful gardener that he is, looking after us, caring about us, wanting to be near us. He doesn't want you to run away, shy away. He wants to come and walk amongst you. Yeah, he's going to deal with your stuff. He does that. He's going to deal with my stuff. He's going to deal with your stuff. He dealt with Adam and Eve's stuff, but he still came. He still didn't just say, forget them. Okay, wipe them out. Let's start over. Let's see if we can get it right. Let's see if the next ones will be faithful. And I came. And I feel to say this morning that Lord, that whatever you're in, whatever you're facing, whatever you're up to right now, that the Lord's just in there with you, coming towards you, coming close, loving you, whether you're experiencing pain from a loss or Maybe you're experiencing pain from a sin. The Lord's just wanting to come close to you. And I just want to remind us of the faithfulness of God. That's just kind of an aside of what I feel like God's got his finger on right now. But what I just want to pick up on what I started to preach into last week, which was I shared out of Daniel 11:32, where he says, "But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action." And that thing of like last week we talked about, how do we live like heroes? And I felt like, man, the Lord wants us to be people who know him, so we can be strong and do exploits. People who know him, so we can, you know, like, we're going to go plant a church in Charleston. Like, we didn't sign up for this. We didn't, you know, like, we have no, it's not ambition. It's not, you know, I want to build my kingdom. It's not, you've got other things you could be doing. But it's like, man, we know God, so we got to do it. So I'm going to pray. And I love Mary playing back here, but I don't think I want to ask her to have to play through the whole time. But we don't normally do that, but it's nice. But I'm going to pray, and then I want to get into what I feel like the Lord's given me for this morning. But I do want to ask you to be praying for Alex and his family. His sister had two young children. My brother didn't have kids, and he was kind of on his own. But she has two young children, and we just want to pray for them, that Alex and Renee want to be able to help raise their nephew, who's just like this sweet little boy. So will you be praying for them? Lord, I want to pray for Alex and Renee and for that family, and specifically for Dallas and their niece as well. And Lord, that you would be so present in their home. Lord, that you would be so present with those children, with Alex and Renee, with their children, with their wider family. Lord, that you would just be so present. Just like that gardener walking through the garden, looking after his people. Lord, I pray this morning that as we look into your word, that you'll stir up our hearts to know you more and to love you more. That you'll take us deeper in our relationship with you, in our knowledge of you, in our love for you, in our everything with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we looked at that verse and talked about living like a hero. But the message, the title of my message this morning is called Know the Father. And what does it mean to know the Father? And what is the difference between knowing about God and knowing God? There's a lot of people that know a lot about God. Most people know stuff about God. I mean, I would say the vast majority of people, if you stopped them on the street and they'd say, hey, do you know about Jesus? Do you know about God? They'll say, yeah, I grew up in church, or my brother's a Christian, or they're going to say they know about God. But there is a vast difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Not the same thing. we probably all know that, having a biological father is a little different than knowing your biological father. So I had a biological father, but I didn't know my biological father. We all have fathers or we wouldn't be here, right? Right? Everybody here, like, we all started with a father and a mother, whether you knew them or not. Some were present, some weren't present. And when you begin to look at the stats about what fatherlessness actually produces, it is quite like jarring and it's tragic, actually. Significantly higher rates of imprisonment, drug use, mental health struggles, suicide, poverty, you name it. Not having a father is going to have significant impact on your life and who you become. Some people will they'll swing one way where they're like they're gonna charge and accomplish and achieve, and in spite of that they're gonna go out there. And some people are gonna be like, man, that's a wound they're gonna carry. I think for either it's a wound you're gonna carry for your life. What does it matter? What does it matter? Why does it matter that we should talk about knowing the Father? And it matters because it can shape, like knowing our Father and not knowing our Father can significantly shape how we know the Father, how we relate to the Father. If you begin to look at your father and think, man, I had a good father. So those of you who had a good father, you're going to look and say, man, if my father was this good, the Father must be so much like, wow. But the converse can be true, you guys. I mean, it's hard to look. Again, for those of you, if this isn't your story, this isn't your reality, the converse can be true. Because, if you had a bad father, an absent father, an abusive father, you can also go to the place of like, well, if that father's bad, then the father's got to be bad too. If that father didn't love me enough to stay and look after me, then the father probably is not going to love me enough to stay and look after me. If that father rejected me, then that father's probably going to reject me. Now, I can say that to you, and you can say intellectually, no way, that's not true. I don't believe that. But what we know intellectually and what we feel emotionally are often not the same thing. I can know something intellectually and be convinced of it. I can know something intellectually and actually preach it. But what I feel, but I believe when like it's just me, that can be very different. And so knowing the Father becomes even more important and valuable for us, because we don't want to draw all our conclusions upon what we know intellectually. We want to draw our conclusions on the truth of who God is and who our Father is. You all know this quote. You've all heard this quote. It's one of our favorites, one of our well-worn quotes, but it says, it's A.W. Tozer in The Knowledge of the Holy. He said, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I would say this morning, what you think about the Father is the most important thing about you. What you think about and what you believe about the Father. Remember I said, it's like knowing about God is one thing. Knowing God is a totally different thing. I can know about, I can know about a Tom Brady, but that doesn't mean I know him. I know a lot about him. So think about how you see God. Think about, do you have a genuinely accurate image, impression, understanding of who God the Father is? And ask yourself the question, how much of what I know and what I believe and how I respond and how I approach God, how much of that is being shaped and colored by my experience of an earthly father? Like I said, for some of you, you had a good dad and it helps you like say, man, I feel like I know what it's like to be loved by a dad. I know what it's like to be protected by a dad. I know what it's like to be provided for by a dad. And you've got like this huge head start. But for some of you, it's like, I don't know what those things feel like. And there's some things that you're going to have to overcome. And there's things in it you have to kind of relearn. And there's things where you're going to have to go and say, actually, you're going to have to search out what is the truth about God. What is the truth about the Father? Because sometimes I don't really understand what that really means. It's actually a critical aspect of our relationship with God and relationship to God and to the kingdom. It really matters what we believe about God as our Father and how we know Him. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 3, He said, "And this is eternal life." Now this is Jesus talking. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent." This is eternal life. So that word eternal life is, let me see. I should have thought of it. I have another great opportunity to show a picture of Zoe. And I didn't take it. I'm trying to be not over the top, because we have the cutest little granddaughter who's going to be here in 2 weeks. She'll be in South Carolina in a week. But that Greek word is actually the word Zoe. That's actually where Nick got that. My son got that name. He thought, oh, that name means, that word for life is Zoe in the Greek. And what it means is, so Jesus is telling you, this is eternal life. This is what eternal life is. It's the absolute fullness of life. Life real and genuine. A life active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed in the portion, even in this world, of those who put their trust in Christ. So it's absolute fullness of life. Jesus says, do you want to have fullness of life? Do you want your life to be like, you know, like that verse, like, you know, give and it'll be given to you. Pressed down, shaken. Wait, how'd it go? Overflowing. Do you want to have that kind of life that's just like actually overflowing, abundant? It just bursts out all over. Yeah, you get around those people who are just full of life, and it's like, man, that person is just like so full of life. It's like just abundant. It's coming out of them. Do you want that? Do you want that kind of like, man, I want people to, when they get around me, they're like, man, there's just like you're just full of life. You bring light into a room. You bring energy into a room. You bring the presence of God into a room. And Jesus is saying here, you want that. This is how to get it. This is eternal life, that you know God, that you know the Father. That's fullness of life. Knowing the Father is crucial to being full of His life. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, it says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." God's saying, man, if you're going to boast in something, if you're going to be known for something, if you're going to be good at something, some of us are good at some things, some of us are good at other things. You know, obviously Bo's good at singing because he said he is, right? Some of us excel at one thing or the other. And what the Bible's telling us is, if you're going to be good at something, be good at this. Let him who boasts, boast in this. Let him who excels, excel in this. Let him who brags, brag in this. Let him who, exudes something, exude this. He says that he understands and knows me. God's saying, like, if you want to be good at something, get good at knowing me. Because then you'll be full of life. Because then you'll be full of not just life, but eternal life. Life that goes on and on and on and on. It's crucial that we know the Father. This is what we're in this for. You know, like we can get caught up in other distractions and other endeavors and other trains of that we think, man, if I can accomplish this or accomplish that or do this or do that, man, my life will be worth something. My life will be special. My life will be like, I'll leave my mark on the earth. I'll leave a legacy. And God's saying, like, if you're going to boast in this, that you know me. But how do we do that? How do we know God? Because he's God. Like we sense his presence here, don't we? Like I feel God's presence. I feel like the presence of God in this place. And we learn about him and we search the scriptures and we get to know the scriptures and we spend time with other believers, but we get in God's orbit. But how do we know God? How are we able to say, man, I know God? Not just, you know, you're walking down the street and there's a guy with a microphone and says, hey, you know, like, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Man, I'm a Christian and $5 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. It isn't worth much more than that. That little moniker, that little title. Man, Christians are a dime a dozen. You can, especially here in this area, you can throw a rock and you'll hit a Christian. Man, I'm not saying we shouldn't call ourselves Christians. But man, I want to be more than just some moniker I wear. I want to be more than some like this thing, oh, he's a Christian. I want to be the guy that says, that guy knows God. That guy walks with God. Man, when I sit and talk to Jake, man, I feel like I get to know God better. When I spend time around Peter, I feel like I get to know God better because he knows him. When I'm with Chris, like, Chris, what do you think God thinks about this? And he says, oh, I think this. And you're like, oh man, that's like, that feels right. That tracks. That lines up. So how do we get to know God? How do we get to know anyone? How do we get to know God? We get to know God in his works, his words, his works, and his intentions. You want to get to know God, get to know his word, his works, and his intentions. What does he say? What does he do? Why does he say it, and why does he do it? You want to get to know him? I mean, that's how we get to know anyone, right? I want to get to know Johnny. I'm like, hey, Johnny, tell me about yourself. But I don't want to just hear about Johnny and what he says. I want to watch what he does, because that's going to really tell me who Johnny is and what Johnny cares about, what's important to Johnny. So I look at the Lord and I like, I want to hear what he has to say. I want to get into his word. I want to know what his word says to me. I want to be able to find him in the scriptures. I want to understand him in what's going on there. So I get into that, but I also want to see how he moves and how he operates. I want to see what he does when he's confronted by Adam and Eve who just sinned. What does he do? What does he say? What does he feel? I want to know, I want to see him moving and working around. When I see someone like a Christian shares a testimony about the guy who loses his son and the guy turns to God and now he's free. And now he says, man, my life has changed. Almost like that thing of, man, now I have eternal life. Before I didn't. So I want to get to know his word, his works, and his intentions. What does he say? What does he do? And why does he do and say it? In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, we all know this verse. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Before I formed in the womb, I knew you. There's a real sense of like a personal, intimate relationship between us and the Father. Like he's like, it's not just, you know, you're not just a number sitting in a church on a Sunday morning. I don't know how many people are sitting in churches you know, somewhere right now and at this time, but it's, you know, it's, you got to believe it's millions, maybe more, maybe billions, who knows? And you think, man, I'm just one here in this room. I don't know how many people are in this room, but you're like, I'm just one of however many people are in this room. But it's like, no. That's not the way God approaches our relationship with him. He's intimately interested and acquainted with each one of us. He says, before I knew you, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. There's an intimacy there that we can have with the Father, that we should have with the Father, that we should desire with a Father that actually it'll shift everything in our lives. I love this verse in Ephesians chapter 1. Every once in a while, I'll have those moments where I'm like, man, I'm not really sure if I'm like, if I'm one of his. You ever have those moments where you're like, you know, maybe I'm not feeling as close to him. Maybe I'm not feeling as spiritual or as holy as I would like to feel. And maybe I just imagined all this. You know, even like looking at like having a loss in my family this week and knowing that, you know, I was, I was probably 13 years old when I got saved, and I didn't come from a Christian family, didn't come from a Christian home. I didn't, my siblings were mostly either drug users or drug addicts or drug dealers. I mean, it wasn't, you know, I'm not trying to like sound like I'm from the streets because I'm not street at all. But some of my family members kind of were. And I think to myself, like, how did I end up here? How did I end up here when the road wasn't as great for some of my siblings? How did I end up here? And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, it says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. If you're like not so sure, because maybe you had a dad that didn't love you or choose you, and you're not so sure about how God feels about you, whether God loves you, whether God wants you, whether God is after you, whether he cares about who you are. And if you're not so sure, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the earth, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. If there's any doubt in your mind about whether like God wants you hanging around with him, getting to know him, getting in close to him, if there's any doubt about whether God loves you, is for you, is, you know, like walking in that garden looking for you, he chose you. But he didn't choose you like, you know, he didn't choose me like all those years ago when I got saved. You'd think, oh man, I was sitting in that church, you know, with, there's probably, you know, 1,000 people in that church that day. And God said, okay, I'll pick him. That didn't happen. It says before the foundation of the earth, he chose you. Before any of this happened, before any of this, like, before he formed the earth, before Adam and Eve sinned, before any, all that, he chose you. You were in his heart. You were on his mind. You were you're like the apple of his eye before the foundation of the earth. If you're sitting here this morning and you're just not sure, does he still love you? Does he still want you? Is he still after you? Does he still, it's like before the foundation of the earth, he chose us in him to be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption. He picked us. if anything's going to give you confidence to get in close to him, it's a revelation of the fact that, man, you're his. He loves you. Let's just set the whole Jesus coming and dying for us aside for a moment. Because that can have a bit of like, that's a shame that that had to happen. But way, 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 way before that, he said, oh, that one's mine. David, that one, he said, David, that one's mine. So we want to get to know him. How do we get to know him? Through Jesus. We get to know him through Jesus. How he lived, what he prioritized. What did Jesus prioritize? What was Jesus' priority? It says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to seek you. He came after you because he wanted to bring you into an intimate relationship with his Father. Because he wanted you to know the Father. God sent Jesus so that he could say, oh, here's a way. We get to know him by getting to know Jesus. You want to know what the Father looks like? Look at Jesus. Look at everything he did. Look at everything he did. Everywhere he went. Everything, what he brought, where he went. We look at him and we say, oh, that's what the Father looks like. So we see Jesus walk into a room and there's a sick person there. And he heals the sick person. First, he forgives your sin. And then he heals the sick person. We see Jesus sitting by a well. And the Samaritan woman comes out to get water. And he's there and he's like, Jesus is like, okay, I'm going to radically change this woman's life right now. Because I want her to know my Father. So he says, hey, you know, he reveals to her who she is and she turns to him. And then she can know the Father. So we look at Jesus and say, okay, if Jesus' number one intention is to reconcile God and man, if Jesus' number one intention is to, like, here's man, here's God, and he wants to bring them together, then we can confidently, boldly come to Jesus and say, man, I want, come to the Father and say, man, Lord, I want to know you. And I know that's what you have planned for me. That's what you have for me. How do we know the Father? We know the Father not by association. There's some of us in the room, it's like, you know, yeah, my spouse is really strong. I'm not as strong. But man, you know, like we're a package deal. So, you know, he's pursuing the Lord or she's pursuing the Lord. So it's kind of like the same as I'm pursuing the Lord. Some of you younger people are in here thinking, well, my parents are like on fire for God. And that, you know, that covers me. We get to know the Father like it's me and him. Like, I can't get to know the Father for Ann Margaret. And she can't get to know the Father for me. It's personal. It's direct. It's one-on-one. It's me and him. It's got to be you and him. It's not by association. Just because your spouse is doing like a really good job of seeking the Lord and loving the Lord and talking about the Lord, and that's great. And it's certainly going to help. But we want to get to know the Father. It's like, you got to get to know the Father. I can't get up to heaven. And when God says to me, hey, what did you do with my son? I said, well, you know, my wife, she was like telling people about Jesus. She was spending time in the Word. She was seeking your face. So He'd be like, yeah, but what did you do with Jesus? You're going to have to answer that question at one point or another. You're going to stand there and be like, but what did you do with him? Oh, well, you know, my parents were like really hardcore. Like my dad was a pastor, or you know, my mom was a prayer. My grandma prayed. And that's great. But what did you do with Jesus? How are you going to answer that question? Because you're standing in front of Jesus and says, hey, tell me about my father. Oh, wait a minute. Let me call my wife in here because she knows him really well. Let me call my grandma in here. She knew him really well. It's one-on-one. It's personal. It's personal and it's two-way. It's so cool how in Exodus 33:17, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, the very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. It's personal. God knows you by name. And Moses' response is not in here, but Moses' response is, okay, then show me your glory. And what if every one of us got alone with the Lord and said, man, you know my name. Man, will you show me your glory, Lord? Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to the things that by nature are not God. But now that you've come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to become, you want to be once more? It's a one-on-one relationship. He knows us, we know him. He it's like somebody gave a word this morning they said if we draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh. They said, I feel like as we're drawing close to God, he'll draw close to us. How do we know him? We know him one-on-one. How do I know my wife? I know her, like I know her because, man, I've pursued her. I've sought her. I went after her. I saw her. I pursued her. I sought her. I went after her. Well, mostly she went after me, but it was, but like, you know, I kind of like, you know, do you want to know him? Do you want to know God the Father? Or do you just want to like get your, you know, your fire, or is it just fire insurance? I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pay my tithe. I'm not going to smoke, drink, or chew, or go with girls who do, because I want to make sure that I don't end up in hell. What a sad thing to settle for. I just want to make sure that I make it into heaven. I mean, I was there at one time. I was that Christian at one time. Like, man, I just don't want to go to hell. I think probably we all maybe start out that way or somewhere around that neighborhood of like, hey, I just don't want to go to hell. But man, that's like, you know, I could be, you know, I've got a Pinto. Does anybody remember what a Pinto is? Who's old enough? Some of you, who doesn't know what a Pinto is? Oh, Mary. It was a sad little car. Like, think, I can't say it because someone might drive one. Think of a sad car. Say, man, I'm happy. I got my sad little car that'll get me to and from. When God's like, hey, I've got this Ferrari over here for you. And you're like, no, I'm happy with my sad little car. That's what it's like when we say, hey, I just want to get to heaven, but I don't want to know him. I don't need to know him. I'm not going to try to know him. I'll just stay in my sad little car. And he's saying, are you sure? Because I've got so much more. There's eternal life in knowing me. There's not point A to point B. There's actually eternal life in knowing me. How do we get to know him? Man, this morning, if you may know him this much. You may know him this much. You may know him this much. But there's more. There's so much more. You might be the person in the room who has the most intimate relationship with them. Maybe Chris. Maybe Mary. Maybe Juliet over there. You might know him more than anybody. You might quantitatively know him more than anybody. And then there's galaxies more to know about him and to know him. There's galaxies more relationship with him. It's unending. But we have to. I mean, it's predicated on us making the decision that, man, I want to know you, God. I want to know you, God. I'm not satisfied with this much or this much or this much or this much. I want to know you, Lord. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him, or blessed is the man who gets to know him. Man, there's so much more for us. And I feel like this morning the Father is inviting us to come in, like past the veil. One of my favorite things about the story of Jesus' crucifixion is that part where it says, you know, and there was like thunder and lightning, and then the veil of the temple was rent in two. And all of a sudden, that curtain that separated God and man was just gone. Jesus just tore it down. It doesn't exist anymore. And I feel like there's something of the Lord saying, hey, I want you to come in closer. I feel like I say this a lot, but the Lord is like, I want you to come in closer. I want you to know me. All those places where you feel fear, insecurity, doubt, all those places where you hate yourself because you don't feel good enough. God's saying, man, come closer. I feel like he's inviting us this morning to know him and the fullness that comes with eternal life. I'll finish with this. There's two stories in the New Testament about there's a parable of the wedding feast and the banquet. And this is, I feel like, the picture that God has for us this morning. You know, the king is throwing a banquet. He's throwing a wedding feast for his son. And he prepares this amazing feast, this amazing, like, party. And he says, hey, go invite the guests to come in. Like, the banquet's ready. The feast is ready. The wedding's ready. Go invite them to come in. And his servants say, well, we did invite all the people. And they're like, they made up excuses and they didn't want to come and they're not coming. And he says, well, go out into the highways and the byways, the alleys and the gutters and bring in any, you got to fill this room. And we've done that too. And it's like, I feel like the thing the Lord is doing this morning is he's saying, hey, listen, are you going to come in to the feast? Are you going to come in to, like, Lord, I just want to know you? Or are you going to be one of those ones that says, I'm kind of busy. I got to get on with making my fortune. I got to get on with, you know, finding a spouse and having a family and buying a house and yada, yada, yada. Got to get my degree. Got to get that. And God's saying, but what about me? What about me? What's most important? There are a lot of important things. What's most important? And this morning, I feel like what God's saying is knowing me is most important. That's where eternal life will come from. That's where all the things you want will come from. That's where all your desires will be filled, is finding eternal life in knowing the Father. Making that your priority. I feel like maybe I can come back up, and maybe Chris, you can come lead us in a response to the Lord. I think this is definitely one of those times where it's important that we take a moment to respond to Him.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much the Lord was speaking through this, but I think it all comes back to, this is eternal life. That they know You, the only true God. That they know Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. It's like God is saying, if you want to get good at something, get good at knowing Me. And just as Lon was bringing this to a close, I felt in that moment that there's so many worship services where you feel it. You feel like we're bringing you to a decision in a moment. And I just feel today like this isn't about a moment. This is about knowing the One who chose you from before the foundation of the world. Like, what is greater than that? Not a house, not a business, not a plan, not a 401k or anything else. Like, the One who created all things, knowing Him who chose us from before He created all things. He's inviting us right now to say, I want to know You more. And when He was saying, you know, how much do you know? Do you know Him this much? And I'm thinking in my own life, my own week, and going, man, if I was that intimate with God, nothing else would cause my heart to doubt, to fear, to get caught up in the day-to-day. Nothing else. If I was that intimate with God, that's all I would want every single moment. So I have so much farther to go in knowing You, Father. So Father, thank You for showing us there's more. There's more to You than we even know now.